بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, my respected and honorable friends, let us correct our intention that we are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to learn in order to attain the reward of performing 1,000 rakats of nafal salah, which has been mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To get this great and magnitude of reward, let's each one of us intend with sincerity from the bottom of our hearts. My dear respected friends, we got exactly 25 hours for the blessed month of Ramadan to come to an end. This 25 hours is the most important 25 hours of the month of Ramadan. The reason for it behind is that for all the efforts that you made, the sacrifices you made, and the worship of Allah that you did throughout the month of Ramadan, Allah is going to give you the gift tomorrow night. But if you're in your last moments, in this 25 hours, you mess it up, gone with your gift also. So let us value this time and spend it in the correct way. My dear respected friends, that gift that Allah is going to give is a gift of forgiveness. All your sins wiped off. You want it? Work for it. You don't want it? Don't work for it. Allah give us tawfiq to value this time, to think about it, and look after that till tomorrow Maghrib, and not lose ourselves. Now, my dear respected friends, asked that give your names to Maul Ishaq, that are going to have breakfast in the morning. Very few brothers gave in, perhaps because they don't meet Maul Ishaq or they don't bump into him, and the cooks are getting excited. How many people must we prepare for? So please lift your hands if you are going to have breakfast after Eid Salah. I'm number one. I'm going to have breakfast. Maul Ishaq, come quickly now. Put on your hands down after Maul Ishaq has counted you, please. My dear respected friends, in the last 24 hours, the programs are going to change slightly. So listen carefully how it is going to be done. From Maghrib to Isha, the mamuls are going to be the same. Taraweeh is going to be a short Taraweeh today because there isn't long recitations. There are several qaris that are going to read the Taraweeh, not the imams that were reading it all along the whole month. After the Taraweeh, inshallah, the program will carry on like every day. That is the recitation of Surah Yasin, Alif Lam, Salatul Salam, Dua, and Kitab reading. Thereafter, refreshments will be served. At quarter past 10, as usual, like every day, tonight there will be no para day because the para day has been completed last night. So in place of the para day, Ustad will be giving a little bit of a more lengthier talk. And there are two qaris that are going to read Qira'at thereafter. Then thereafter you can go and relax and do what you were doing like every day. Now tomorrow please remember at 11:30, there will be no talks by the alims that are giving every morning at 12 o'clock the talks. There will be no talks by the alim tomorrow. But at 11:30 sharp means sharp, we are all going to meet here together like we are sitting now, and you are going to listen to the advices of departing from the etikaf. And we are going to meet one another and ask for forgiveness for one another. And we are going to take everybody's ibadat that they made in the whole month of Ramadan and put it in the pool. And from the pool, we are going to distribute it to all our deceased, whoever we make intention for. That is the greatest part of the whole etikaf. Because the deeds won't run into thousands, hundreds of thousands, not into millions, not into billions, not even into trillions. More than trillions it's going to go. Now imagine a deceased getting that reward. How pleased will they not be and how happy will they not be? Then thereafter, my dear respected friends, gifts will be given. The procedure will be shown to you tomorrow morning at 11:30. From Zohar time onwards, the program will be the same right till Maghrib time. As soon as the Maghrib azan go, your etikaf has come to an end. You're out of sunnat etikaf. But don't be like a bird in a cage. The minute door is open, out she flies. At least after Maghrib, read your 6 raktaqs of Abu Abin. At least read your Alif Lam Mim Sijda. Read your Tabarak, and then you can go. Allah make it easy upon all of us. My dear respected friends, I came across a very nice, beautiful story here, which was regarding a person that was making dua in the morning. He was a Buzruk man and he was making his dua with his hands raised. That was early part of the morning, tahajjud time. Above him on a rafter in the ceiling was the nest of a swallow. While the hands of the Buzruk were open, a tiny newborn cheek fell from the nest and landed in his palms. In a moment of ghaflat, the Buzruk closed his hands, and when he opened his palms, he discovered that the cheek had died. The mother bird had observed the whole scene from the top. Soon thereafter, the Buzruk was overtaken by a mysterious illness which weakened him tremendously. He was assigned in bed. His weakness was such that he lacked strength to even perform tayammum. He could hardly sit or move any of his limbs. Despite all his supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cure was nowhere in sight. He continued languishing in indisposition and despair until one day a mother cat carried her kitten into his hut and placed them under the Buzruk's bed. Soon after the mother cat had departed, a snake slithered into the hut and grabbed hold of the kitten. Totally oblivious of his indisposition, the Buzruk grabbed the stick, which was on his bedside, and struck at the snake. Immediately the snake dropped the kitten and slithered away. In a state of concern for the kitten and excitement, he had become oblivious of his illness. His mental state overcame his physical weakness, hence he was able to grab his staff, the stick, and strike at the snake. When the snake had grabbed the kitten, the mother cat had just returned and had observed the entire episode. Soon thereafter, the Buzruk began recuperating, and within a couple of days, he was fully regained his strength and his health. There was no sign of his illness any longer. Mystified by the sudden onset of the illness and its equally sudden and swift departure, the Buzruk lifted his hand, supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unreveal the mystery behind it. Came the divine revelation or divine inspiration, ilham from Allah. The swallow complained to us, that is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you had killed the baby bird, hence the punishment of the sickness. The mother cat in gratitude supplicated to us, that is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hence the cure. So my dear respected friends, from this story we learn that even the animals that make dua for us, if we look after them, we treat them kindly. Let us not ill-treat animals. The biggest ill-treating we ever have, my dear respected friends, is ill-treating our wives. We treat them worse than dogs, unfortunate to say. Because we got more strength than them, we got more power than them, we put them on our foot and we trample upon them. That is the greatest oppression, that is hate, or hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are 100% going to be punished for it. How do you like it, my dear respected friends, that your wives clean your house for you, they cook the food for you, they look after your clothes, they do everything for you, look after your children? And because something that they did not do to your taste, you let Y, F, and B's. And you tell them words that you're not supposed to say. And you break their heart. Allah gets very, very angry and upset for them. My dear respected friends, we do all this in anger. And we're going to speak about anger now. And listen carefully to what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about anger. And if we learn to control our anger, really, wallahi al-azim, I take the oath of Allah, we'll win the fight against war with anybody or misunderstanding with anybody. So it is easy to listen to ahadith. And we know what the ahadith say. But those ahadith, to bring it into practical life, at that very moment of anger, is something that you have really achieved in your life. So remember these hadiths that are going to be read. And at the time of anger, apply them. And do not forget at that moment, because of the anger, that you lose yourself. For in anger, it is like a bullet coming out of a gun, that bullet can never be returned to the gun again. The words that are uttered in that anger, not only to the wife, not only to the children, but many friends of ours, associates also, we lose our cool and just let by. My dear respected friends, we are losing a lot in life. But in its place, if we make sabr, we exercise on patience. Allah has mentioned patience over 80 times in the Quran Kareem. And Allah has openly taught us that إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, that most certainly Allah is with those that have patience. And you can only exercise patience if somebody inflicts a difficulty upon you. Today we cannot take difficulties. That is the reason why in tasawuf, they want you to make mujahida. Go against your carnal desire. Go against yourself. And learn to take hardship in your life. Then these injunctions of the Quran Kareem will become easy to act upon. My dear respected friends, Sahal bin Mu'az radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that his father said that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever swallow his anger, though he can give vent to it, Allah will call him to the forefront of the creatures on the day of the resurrection. And he will be given the option to choose any of the pure-eyed virgins he may like. So my dear respected friends, if you get angry and you swallow your anger and you exercise patience, Allah got a reward for you. If you do it 1,000 times, that same reward 1,000 times, that on the day of Qiyamah, in front of all the people from Adam alayhi salam till the last person born, in front of all of them, Allah will say, my servant, you exercised patience, you swallowed your anger, here are the damsels of Jannah. Choose whichever one you want. Our mothers that are listening to the back, please don't get jealous that the husbands are getting damsels of Jannah. As the women are very jealous when their husbands have another wife. No, yeah, in Jannah, these Hurul Ain will be under you. You will be the master, mistress, or not mistress, what? The boss. In this world right now, my dear respected friends, if you tell your wife that I'm going to get you 6 servants and 7 servants, one just to wash the dishes, one just to wash the clothes, one just to sweep, she'll get so happy, so many. But in Jannah, why she's not getting happy? Because the husband is getting so much of hur. They'll be all doing and serving her too. She's not going separate way, you going separate way. So please, woman, don't get upset. Say, the more hurs my husband get, the more I'm going to enjoy it. So, my dear respected friends, if you want the pure-eyed virgins, you want the Hurul Ain, Allah has given us a remedy through this hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Exercise it and it's there for you. In another hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala reported that a man asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me advice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't get angry. He repeated the same thing several times. And in Arabic, this what Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba is, la taghdab. One word advice only. La taghdab. Don't get angry. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advices are of one word too. But what precious advice is it? That if we don't get angry, then my dear respected friends, we will be following this hadith of Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu also reported a hadith comes in Muslim and Bukhari Sharif that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a strong man is not he who can wrestle, but a strong man is he who can control himself at the time of anger. Come. All those guys that say we are the bravos. You are not the bravos. You are the bravo when you can control your anger. So don't take out your anger on anybody. Saleh, we're coming to you just now. Don't worry. Coming for you just now. Another hadith of Muslim and Bukhari Sharif. Atiyah bin Urwa As-Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anger comes from shaitan, and shaitan was created from the fire. And fire is extinguished by water. So whoever gets angry, let him make ablution, let him make wuzu. In other ahadith is also mentioned that drink water, because water cools the fire. So if you make wuzu, it will cool your anger. You drink water, it will cool your anger. So the minute you're getting wild, run for the tap and drink water. Or run for the wuzu khana and go make wuzu quickly. You'll cool down, inshallah. Another hadith also tells us what to do when we get angry. That Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reported that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whenever one of you gets angry while he's standing, let him sit down. If anger goes out of him, that is good. But if not, let him lie down. So in other words, plain and simple words, change your position. If you're standing, sit. If you're sitting, stand. Whatever position you are, change your position. Inshallah, it will help you to get away from anger. In a hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala reported about the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove evil that is good. He said, it refers to patience at a time of anger and pardon at a time of bad treatment. If anyone should do this, Allah will protect them and put their enemies to disgrace as if they are near bosom friends. Come, my dear respected friends, when we are angry, if we are going to exercise patience, Allah is going to protect us against our enemies. What a good method has Allah shown us to be protected. All of us got some sort of enemy somewhere along the line. Sometimes it is a jinn, sometimes it is seher, sometimes it is something else that is our enemy. All these enemies will be removed if we control our anger and exercise patience. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala reported that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no servant swallows a pill that is better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the glorious Allah, than the pill of anger which he restrains, seeking the pleasure of Allah. So every time you get anger, swallow that pill. Though it is a very bitter pill, it is difficult to swallow. But for the pleasure of Allah, for Allah that we swallow that pill, Allah gets so happy and Allah gets so pleased that we attain the pleasure of Allah, which we through our Quran reading, our nawafil, our zikrs, we seeking the pleasure of Allah. Yea, by just merely controlling that anger, that pleasure of Allah will be attained. In a hadith of Bayhaqi, it is related from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that most certainly anger destroys faith just as aloe spoils honey. And you know, aloe is very bitter. If a little of aloe is thrown into honey, makes the sweetness of the honey also bitter. Likewise is anger to your iman. Lose your cool, become angry, there goes your iman. Then, last and finally, also a hadith of Bayhaqi, Anas radiallahu ta'ala reports that Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and this is the advice I would like each one of you to take, remember it. Beautiful advice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoso guards his tongue, Allah will conceal his secrets. Heard that one? What? If you guard your tongue, Allah conceals your secret. You let by your tongue and you talk too much, Allah opens your secrets to all the other people. And our secrets, we always want to sweep it under the carpet. Nobody must see it. So now you know, not only in the etikaf, out of the etikaf, control your tongues. Don't speak too much. Allah will conceal your faults. And if you want the dunya to know about your faults, the whole world must know about your faults, then let by your tongue and go to town with it. So my dear, learn a lesson from this hadith. Learn to control your tongue. Then further, Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and whoso restrains his anger, that when you get angry, you restrain that anger, Allah will uphold his punishment on the day of resurrection. So if you control your anger, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will, inshallah, restrain his anger from you and keep the punishment away. So for all our misdeeds in this dunya, which we are supposed to be punished, but because we controlled our anger, Allah will take that punishment away. Now we get to Salibai's question. That the women are ruling already. Who brought them into power? There's the first question. Who brought them into power? You bring them into power and you still complain. It's not a worthwhile complaint, my friend. There is only one way, and that is the way of the Sharia. The Sharia has taught us everything. If you bring your family onto the way of the Sharia, and you bring the fear of Allah and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into them, they will lead an upright, straight life. Let us not get angry on things that our wives and children did not obey us on. For these things, hidayat from Allah, and hidayat does not come from us. So if our wives are not reading namaz, we want to take the stick and beat them to pulp till they read salah. No, hidayat comes from Allah. But to propagate, to pass the message on, is our job. In the laws of Allah, we cannot become lenient. Or we cannot give them a chance. That if they don't want to read namaz, you tell them, okay, don't read namaz. It's okay. Keep on sleeping. Make ta'lim to them. Don't be harsh on them. Invite them with wisdom. And believe me, woman, if you talk nice to them, and you give them presents, and you buy roses for them, and you buy chocolates for them, they do anything for you. They get so lekker. Now there's the opportunity. Buy those roses, buy those chocolates. When you give it to them, you tell them, you know, we should improve our Islamic life. You should be reading namaz. And the best method, my dear respected friends, is what our spiritual mentor had taught. Really, believe me, it works. Our spiritual mentor has said that if your spouse or your family or your children are not obedient to the laws of Allah, every day, on a specific time, recite a few verses and passages from Fazail al-Sadaqat, the virtues of charity, written by our spiritual mentor, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. But when you are reading it, make intention, not loud that our wives hear, otherwise they'll want to honor you. That, oh Allah, the fears from this kitab is coming on to all of us sitting in this majlis. And cause the fears for all of us to change. Not only them to change, you the reader also, all of us to change. And read every single day a few passages. Whether you did before eating or whenever free time. And it is proven that inshallah, your family will change. Proven. Done many times over. You don't have time. Otherwise, I should explain to you many incidents that took place by people reading this ta'lim in their home, that the environment of the home had changed. So do it, inshallah, will win. Remember, my dear respected friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our mother Hawa alayhi salam from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. And the rib is crooked. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that rib is crooked, and if you straighten it, want to straighten it, then it is going to break. And breaking is talaq, divorce. So do it very, very diplomatically, slowly and surely. My dear respected friends, since a woman was created from the rib on the side, don't take the woman and put her on the head. That she beat you like a horse. Hey, not like even like a horse. This is like a donkey. Whoop you. Go here. Do this. Do that. Do that. And you like a khadim run, you know. Nor did Allah create Hawa alayhi salam from the feet of Adam alayhi salam. Did you trample upon her? So don't oppress her. Don't trample upon her. Because this oppression, my dear respected friends, all of you know and have heard the punishment that was meted to a person in the cemetery of Avalon, which Maulana Hashim Bodha many, many years ago went to visit the cemetery, and he saw flames coming out of the grave. Investigating, finally that the husband was very oppressive to the wife. And because of that, Allah is punishing him. So that punishment be meted out to us also. So please don't trample her. Don't put on her head and carry her, that she beat you, on your side. Walk side to side. Every evening before you sleep, have pillow talk with your wife. How was your day? What is your problems? Your problems. You sit, you talk together, try to help one another, try and solve your problems. In that way, A lot of love come between the husband and wife. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha used to always drink water from the side of the glass where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak mouth had touched. So, share the same glass, share the same toothbrush, share the same miswak, share the same plate and eat together in one plate. You will be amazed that in a short while how much muhabbat between the two will come. Try it, it works. In our family, three sons, one daughter makes it four couples. Appa and myself makes it five couples. Whenever the table is set, there's never 10 plates set. Always 5 plates set. All couples both eat in one plate. That has caused a lot of muhabbat in the family. Try it, it works. These little remedies, use them, inshallah, it will better your married life. But only one thing, put this and pack it away. This thing does not work. It only worsens matter. So don't worsen the matters. Do it diplomatically. Speak nicely. Showed you guys many things how to do it. Inshallah, Allah help all of us. Now, finally, Ustad was, as we finished off yesterday, said, if the guys want to become bayat a second time and refresh their bayat, they must refresh their marriages also. I think, he wants walimas, that's why. So if 300 guys here in this majlis renew their marriages, you got enough walima for one whole year. You don't have to cook at home. Don't forget to give his wives also if you hear your marriage. Okay, those brothers that want to become bayat and renew their bayat, say after me, say, La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no one worthy of worship but Allah. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his true prophet. I bring faith in Allah, in his angels, in his holy books, on all his prophets, on taqdeer, whether it be good or bad, and to be raised after death. I repent from all my sins, whether big or small. And I make a promise, I will not commit any sin. And if I commit a sin, I will repent immediately. O Allah, accept my repentance. Include me amongst your pious servants. Give me tawfiq from your pleasures. And in the total obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have become bay'at with Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi. One day somebody asked me a question that when you make bay'at, you say you must become bay'at with Hazrat Shaykh. You use the word bay'at with Hazrat Shaykh, but Hazrat Shaykh is dead, he's in his grave. How do we become bay'at with him? My dear respected friends, bayat is spiritual. So is attaching yourself to our spiritual mentor is also spiritual. And we explained a little earlier, sometime in the month of Ramadan also, that our spiritual mentor is alive like the Anbiya alive in his grave. He is there to still serve you. So you become bayat with him, the spirituality is going to come to you, his faith is going to come to you, his barakat is going to come to you, and that is what's going to change you. My dear respected friends, I only guarantee you one thing, that the mamulats that are shown to you, if you do these mamulats, within 1 year, by the time you come for i'tikaf, the next year, if every single day, without missing it, not one day, even if you are sick, your life will be changed. Guaranteed. So do your mamulats every single day. Meet Ustad when? After Isha. Okay, 7 o'clock, me is Ustad in where? Venue? Yeah, in the Safa Marwa area. The people that became bayat for the first time, he will give you your literatures, he will explain you what to be done. May Allah Ta'ala accept from us, make it easy for all of us. See you guys tomorrow, half past 11, inshallah. Tomorrow there will be a talk also, after Asr. But I'm going to read one beautiful story. These all won't be packed away tonight. One beautiful story from the Fazail Sadaqat that we are asking, the last story inside that can bring some lesson to us that will be read to you tomorrow, inshallah. And then we are going to have the khatam of the Quran and the dua, etc. How many people you got already for the khatam? Malibarachi, how many? Who's the names going? Wake up, little in life, man. You must know, Maut will come take you just like that. And then you're going in front of Allah, Allah is going to ask you, what you brought for me? You say, no, I haven't decided still. Wake up! Right, wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.